Welcome to The Motivated Mind, where I challenge you to expand your perspective on how to achieve a successful life through motivational lessons, reflections, and interviews with other motivated minds. Welcome back to The Motivated Mind, a top 100 health podcast, thanks to each of you. This is episode 406, and I'm your host, Scott Lynch. If I brought you any value, please be sure to leave a review, hit that subscribe or follow button, and please be sure to share the podcast. Thanks for making The Motivated Mind part of your story. Having spent over a decade in the cannabis industry, I've witnessed many consumers, myself included, grappling with the overwhelming abundance of options and information available, especially when it comes to navigating the thousands of cannabis strains. It's like navigating a maze. And driven by this challenge, my team and I embarked on a journey 4 years ago to change this narrative. Our goal was to provide consumers with the data and education necessary to make informed decisions, enhance their cannabis experience, and ultimately improve their lives. Today, I'm grateful and happy to announce that we've launched HashDash, the world's first personalized cannabis matching platform that leverages over 637,000 cannabis strain data points to match you with your favorite cannabis that aligns with your unique preferences. Our platform centers around three key pillars: matching, community, and education. All three are aligned with our mission of empowering cannabis enthusiasts and newcomers alike, transforming confusion into clarity in the vast world of cannabis consumption. Say goodbye to the guesswork. Discover, learn, and elevate your cannabis experience with HashDash. Sign up for free at HashDash.com and find your cannabis match. That's HashDash.com. In recent years, loneliness has been recognized as a growing public health concern. Its impact is likened to that of smoking 15 cigarettes a day, affecting countless individuals worldwide, spanning diverse backgrounds in terms of income, race, religion, and other social demographics. Whether it's persistent and chronic or temporary, its effects can be profoundly damaging to our mental, emotional, and physical well-being. If you experience loneliness, this episode is for you. So, how can we overcome loneliness? Number one, loneliness comes from within, not without. We can enjoy solitude when we're not focused on negative thoughts. In fact, many people cherish their alone time. The key is learning what beliefs are causing our suffering. A report released by the Harvard Graduate School of Education detailing the drivers of anxiety for young adults aged 18 to 25, 34% reported feelings of loneliness. 51% said achievement pressure negatively impacted their mental health. 58% reported lacking meaning or purpose in their lives in the last month. 50% reported their mental health was negatively influenced by not knowing what to do with my life. There has been a lot of examination of the well-being of teens aged 14 to 17, but not much has been known about those occupying the critical adult years. And yet, young adults report roughly twice the rates of anxiety and depression as teens. Young adults are not okay. And we're taught that friends and romantic partners are the key to happiness. So we feel empty and lacking without them. We become anxious about the future, worrying we'll never find our people or our tribe. And this leads to inauthenticity as we try to be who we think others want. But here's the truth. No one else can make you happy. Sure, external validation and companionship, they feel good, but it's fleeting. Friends and lovers can't delete the negative thoughts that cause loneliness. In relationships, worries and insecurities still arise. Dr. Jordan Peterson describes it best, saying, "Happiness as an aim is shallow and weak. It cannot withstand suffering. Obviously, because when you are suffering, you are not happy. And if the purpose of life is to be happy, then when you're suffering, your life has no meaning. And then if you're suffering and there's no meaning in the suffering, then you're really suffering. That's really hell. First of all, don't aim at being happy, because that's just not going to work. Especially when the storms come and the barbarians are beating at the gate. You can't just forget about that. And there's going to be times in your life when you're suffering so much, you can't believe it. And so you're going to need something a hell of a lot more robust than happiness to get you through that. And then you might say, well, what's more robust than happiness? Or maybe even, what's more robust than pain? How about adventure? How about we go out and sail the uncharted seas? If you want to be happy, shine a light inward. Number two, self-inquiry. To break free from loneliness, we need to get curious about our inner world, our inner landscaping. When loneliness arises, it offers an opportunity to embark on a journey of curiosity and introspection. By delving into our inner world through self-inquiry, we uncover the stories we tell ourselves about our relationships, our worthiness, and our happiness. And we could start that curiosity adventure of our inner world when loneliness arises by asking ourselves probing questions. Like, what story am I telling myself right now? Is it actually true? I need X or Y to be happy? Can I be content in this moment as I am? These questions encourage us to question the validity of these narratives. We can start to challenge the notion that we need external validation or specific circumstances to experience happiness and fulfillment. By reframing our perspective and questioning the accuracy of our beliefs, we open ourselves up to new possibilities and pathways. Our thoughts create our reality. They are the paintbrush of our lives. Choose your paintbrush and colors wisely. Number three, explore the root cause. For some, loneliness is tied to deeper issues, like low self-esteem or social anxiety. And there's no shame in this. Working with a therapist can help identify those underlying causes. And once we identify the root, we can build skills and confidence to overcome those barriers. In my own experience, I've seen firsthand the profound impact that loneliness can have, particularly among the elderly. My wife worked in healthcare for years, specifically with the elderly, and loneliness was rampant. And a breakdown from Wellbe highlighted this. Lonely seniors have a 59% higher risk of physical and mental health decline. Seniors who suffer from loneliness have a 64% higher risk of dementia. So, if you know someone who is elderly, call them, visit them, give them a ride, bring them on your adventure. And I'll tell you, this won't just help their loneliness, but it will also help yours and make you feel so much better. By addressing the root cause of loneliness and fostering genuine connections with others, we not only combat feelings of isolation, but also cultivate a sense of belonging and purpose that enriches both our lives and the lives of those around us. Number 4, redefine connection. We've all been sold a narrow vision of connection. We're conditioned to believe that connection must be profound and intimate, involving deep conversations with a soulmate or a close friend. However, true connection encompasses a much broader spectrum of interactions. Connections can manifest in the simplest of gestures, such as exchanging smiles with a stranger, or sharing an inside joke with yourself. These seemingly insignificant moments hold immense power in alleviating loneliness and fostering a sense of belonging. By expanding our definition of connection to include these micro interactions, we open ourselves up to a wealth of opportunities for meaningful human contact. Recognizing and appreciating these micro connections in each moment can transform our perception of loneliness. Instead of solely seeking validation and companionship from others, we learn to find solace and fulfillment in the small but significant connections we encounter daily. Whether it's a friendly nod from our neighbor or a shared laugh with a passerby, each interaction serves as a reminder that we are part of a larger tapestry of human experience. Number 5, talk it out. Sharing our struggles is one of the most powerful medicines to loneliness. And what we each need to realize is that we are not alone in feeling lonely. We are in a loneliness epidemic. Everyone experiences it sometimes. It's part of being human. And while technology is a beautiful thing with many benefits, it also created a bigger trench for many, creating even more loneliness. But opening up to someone can break the cycle. Andrew Huberman really highlights the severity of isolation perfectly and how connection is the antidote to loneliness, stating, "Social isolation that goes too long is associated in anything from flies to mice and humans with a molecule called tachykinin. This molecule makes us more fearful, paranoid, and impairs our immune system. This molecule is like this internal punishment signal. It's like our body and brain telling us you're not spending enough time with people that you trust. You're not spending time doing the things you really enjoy. This molecule is very sinister, and it starts being secreted when we are not socially connected enough. And this is exactly why long meals with friends or family, just feeling like we are connected, suppresses this molecule. We really should want to avoid this molecule because chronic isolation really depletes so many good functions of our brain and body and promotes so many bad ones, including irritability, paranoia, and fear. So, if you want to grab the most potent medicine for loneliness, grab the one labeled Sharing My Struggles.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
You may already know about my private coaching program, which offers tremendous benefits. However, there's another approach worth exploring: group coaching. This type of coaching emphasizes systems thinking, fostering skills in reflection, reframing, questioning, problem solving, and time management, all on top of encouraging relationship building and dismantling internal silos. Well, I'm thrilled to introduce my group coaching program, where we'll meet twice a month, every first and third Friday, for 45-minute video sessions. Prior to each session, I'll present a key theme and a thought-provoking question of the week. During our sessions, I'll share insights, hacks, and methods related to the week's topic, fostering a free-flow conversation where questions and personal experiences are welcomed. After each session, you'll receive engaging assignments linked to the theme. These assignments will be shared on our group coaching Discord channel, allowing everyone to provide feedback and engage in a dynamic, interactive experience. Join me for a coaching experience that blends strategic insight and meaningful connections by clicking the link in the show notes. Number 6, create non-human bonds. Connection doesn't only come through people. Caring for a pet or plant can provide a deep sense of meaning and reduce loneliness. Animals offer unconditional love and companionship. I remember shortly after graduating college feeling really lonely. I lived up in the White Mountains, fairly far from friends or family, and one of the best decisions I ever made was getting Truman, our dog. We went on countless hikes, we went mountain biking, we went running, we went kayaking, we went camping, he even came to work with me most days. We did everything together. He not only reduced my loneliness at the time, but also helped create fulfilling routines. He was there unconditionally during the good and the bad. And that bond, years later, is still strong. Tending to other living things puts us in touch with the web of life. Number 7, compassionate self-talk. We think about 50,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. And do you know how many of them are negative? 80%. And a majority of that negativity is weaponized towards us. How we speak to ourselves is all that matters. And more often than not, we fail to realize how hard we are on ourselves, how we treat ourselves. And this happens so often and subconsciously that we do it over and over again without paying attention to it at all. It becomes the norm. So pay attention to how you speak to yourself, especially in hard times. Ask yourself, am I being critical and harsh? Am I dwelling on what's wrong with me? A good rule of thumb: practice talking to yourself like you would a good friend. A good friend would say something like, it's okay to be where you are. Finding a connection takes time. Keep trying. That's the exact way we need to start speaking to ourselves. David Goggins captures this beautifully, stating, you have to constantly rewrite your book every day of your life. These aren't just words I say. This is how I have to live. These are conversations I have with myself, and I say it everywhere I go. The most important conversations are the ones you have with yourself. You live with it every single day. But most of our conversations are not the right ones. They're not the ones that are going to push us to the place we need to go. They're the ones that are going to keep us sitting in that toxic environment that you've helped create and everybody else helped you create. And you just live in it. You live in that muck. And that conversation just plays in your head and that becomes you. So start intentionally having the right conversations with yourself. Number 8, serve others. Through my research, I found that 18 to 24-year-olds and 24 to 35-year-olds are most likely to say volunteering helps them feel less isolated. A staggering 77% of 18 to 24-year-olds and a staggering 76% of 24 to 35-year-olds to be exact. And those 35 to 65 were all over 60%. Saying volunteering helps them feel less isolated. One of the best ways to get out of our head is to help someone else. Serving others is the wrecking ball that breaks through the thick walls of our minds. And that service doesn't need to be anything complex or massive. It could be something as simple as volunteering in your community, lending a listening ear, performing acts of kindness. Just the other day, while celebrating Easter with our daughter, we attended an Easter egg hunt. It was our first time searching for eggs and watching all the big kids run around hunting for eggs. But given she's just over a year, she was at a slight disadvantage from the bigger kids. She wasn't as quick to find eggs. And by the time the hunting had ended, she had no eggs. But one amazing mother with her two daughters decided to take two eggs out of their own baskets and leave them for Ainsley, our daughter, to find. That is a simple act of kindness, but one that will stretch far and wide from how her daughters treat others as they age to our daughter seeing that example of kindness to the values my wife and I continue to instill in our daughter. Service connects us to our shared humanity and sense of purpose. It gives us this floating feeling. It pulls us from the solitude of loneliness. So, contribute to something greater than yourself. Look for those small opportunities to be kind. Number 9, lose yourself in your passions. The most intimidating question many of us have pondered, what am I passionate about? If you find that question intimidating, before you try to answer it, ask yourself two questions. What lights me up and what excites me? Whatever that is, whatever category that answer falls under, search for new hobbies and interests within them. Explore those new hobbies and interests. Get lost in them, because you never know what you'll uncover. And not only what you'll uncover, but engaged in flow activities is what makes time pass quickly. And in doing so, you may find others who share your passions. Number 10, examine your expectations. We're bombarded with opinions about what the ideal social life should look like. From media portrayals to cultural norms, we're inundated with messages about how our social interactions should unfold, leading to feelings of inadequacy or isolation when our experiences don't align with these standards. By questioning the validity of these expectations, we can challenge the notion that one-size-fits-all approach to social fulfillment. It's essential to evaluate whether our expectations are realistic and aligned with our personal values and preferences. Rather than striving to meet arbitrary social standards, we can redefine what fulfillment means to us on an individual level. This process involves abandoning the pressure to conform to societal norms and embracing our unique needs and desires. It's about recognizing that meaningful connections come in various forms and may not always adhere to conventional standards. By honoring our authentic selves and prioritizing relationships that align with our values, we can cultivate a sense of fulfillment and connection that resonates with who we truly are. So, question whether your expectations are realistic or even desirable to you. Abandon social standards. Embrace your unique needs and definition of fulfillment. Number 11, make the first move. Extending care and compassion can go a long way, as we've discussed. If you sense someone is lonely, reach out. Start a conversation. Ask how they're doing. Be the person who steps forward, who kicks it off, and makes an action. Tell someone how much you care and appreciate them. You can do that. We all can do that. And we've all had it done to us, and it feels amazing. When someone comes up to you out of nowhere and says, "Hey, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you. I know sometimes we don't talk to each other that much, but when we do, I really enjoy it." We can create a culture of connection through small, intentional acts, and it starts with being the friend we wish to have. The bulk of the pain of loneliness is the desperate grasping for solid ground. We think if we can find the perfect person or group, the void inside will finally be filled. But none of that is true. What we need to do, what we need to believe, is that we are worthy of connection, exactly as we are. Healing from loneliness is a non-linear journey. It'll be one of the hardest things you ever have to do. So be patient and gentle with yourself. Know you are not alone and that this too shall pass. Thanks for listening to The Motivated Mind with your host, Scott Lynch. I hope you enjoyed my deep dive into 11 ways to overcome loneliness. If you did, share it, shout it out on social media, or drop a rating and review. Stay connected with me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Motivated Scott. Don't forget to join me every Monday and Thursday for new episodes. I love you all, and thanks so much for listening. The Motivated Mind is a legacy division.